The Jerry Bader Show.
WTAQ News, Talk, Sports. Recently, a listener to the show predicted that the NFL within 20 years would be flag football. We have a story in the show today that makes me think he's right. The wussification of America is just about complete now. Did you hear the school that's banning everything at recess? Can't throw a real football or baseball or soccer ball. You can't do cartwheels unless supervised by a coach at recess. We're going to get into that. A lot of varied topics to get in today, and we're going to have our Washington update with Reed Ribble at 9:15 today. We'll get into all of that. Actually, Jason, leave that queued up. I think we'll do that in this segment because I don't know where else I would put it otherwise. You can just play it off the YouTube. It's fine. I listen to it. It's perfectly safe. Well, that's not always the case, you know. We'll get to that in just a bit. Some audio from Jay Carney that I found right before the start of the show. A lot of things I want to tackle. As I said, we'll talk with Reed. But there, remember, we those of you who heard it, we debated liberal talk show host Mike McFeely from KFGO in Fargo a couple of weeks ago. He argued that the congressional exemption for Obamacare is a myth. That's not real, was Mike's argument. There's a move out there to make that stick. I want to get to that. We'll have an update on Wausau and Christmas music. The district tried to explain itself. Heavy emphasis on tried. We'll get to all of that. I actually want to get to the Redskins story of the Redskins being forced to change their name. I'll get to that in just a minute. However, at the press briefing yesterday, I just want to share this because I don't know where else it'll fit in the show, and this is pretty interesting. The Obama administration has been criticized for not saying how many people have actually enrolled. The website, the enrollment website, has been a train wreck. It's crashed. They had to take it down for maintenance shortly after it went up. They called it a first week success and all of that. The excuse that they used for the technical issues the website has been having for the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, well, there's so gosh darn many people out there wanting to go to the site. If that's true, most of them, I'm guessing, are just curiosity seekers. But how many people are enrolling? And why is the White House so carefully guarding those numbers? White House Press Secretary Jay Carney was asked that yesterday.
And release enrollment data.
You got to start it up, Jason. You're in the middle of it. Yeah, hang on. We got to go. All right, let's do this.
Come to a vote.
Do you have an estimate on how many people have attempted to access the website for the health care?
Let me see what facts and figures I have. As of now, I still have, in the first 72 hours, healthcare.gov had over 8.6 million unique visitors. As you know, there were seven times more users on the Marketplace website first morning than have ever been on the Medicare.gov site at one time.
But you still don't know how many people have signed up?
I'm glad you asked that question because I want to be clear about it. When it comes to enrollment data, you know, I want to clear this up. We will release data on regular monthly intervals, just like was done in Massachusetts and just like what was done and is done when it comes to Medicare Part D. What I can confirm right now is that people are signing up through federal exchanges. But we're not going to be releasing, you know, this is an aggregation process, and we're not going to release data on an hourly or daily or weekly basis. We'll follow models that have existed in previous programs, including a similar program in Massachusetts, including Medicare Part D, which is the most recent federal example of this kind of thing, and release enrollment data on regularly monthly intervals.
So in other words, we're not telling you right now. Here's the way we've done it with other programs. Interesting, do you notice twice he tried to connect this to Romney Care? Well, just like Massachusetts program, just like the Massachusetts program. That apparently is their default defense now. You know, we're not the first ones to do this. There was Romney Care, which, by the way, a whole topic for another day. But you have to wonder, even us conservatives not being hard enough on Mitt Romney and explaining Romney Care and Romney never stepping away from it, you do have to wonder how that played in 2012. No sense of going back. It's done. It's gone. I understand that. But let's see as this debate moves forward. I just found it interesting. He referenced Massachusetts twice. And I'm wondering now, is that going to be the defense for Obamacare? Well, it's not like the first time this has happened, you know. A Republican did this, you know. They haven't played that card. But what he's saying is, well, look, you know, quarterly or whatever, we'll tell you how many people enrolled. It's going to be very, very interesting to see if, one, he sticks to that, and two, what the numbers are when they are unveiled. We took up a topic a while back where a lot of listeners disagreed with me. What I said was, if any Native American sports mascot is racist, it would be the Redskins, because it deals directly color of the skin. Now, I didn't say that I think they should change the name. I said I could understand where some people would be far less comfortable with that than some of the other Native American mascots, and I think it is marginally racist. I did not call, as others have, for Dan Snyder to change the name. Rich Lowry, writing at RealClearPolitics.com, has a piece on this called The Fabricated Outrage Over Redskins. Because this is accelerating, and in fact, it appears other NFL owners may put pressure on Snyder to make this move. Lowry posted today at Real Clear Politics. The Washington Redskins have a problem. The football team's nickname is offensive to members of an easily aggrieved group that is determined to make pointless gestures toward righting historic wrongs through a grim lack of proportion. In other words, its nickname is offensive to American liberals. The epicenter of the anti-Redskins resistance is editors of liberal websites and magazines like Slate and Mother Jones, who have decided to banish the word from their football coverage, such as it is. Needless to say, if you get your gridiron news from Mother Jones, you probably care more about the team's labor practices and its carbon footprint than the performance of its positional units on any given Sunday. President Obama validated the offense-taking when he said in a recent interview that if he were owner of the team, he would consider changing the nickname, displaying, as usual, an officious inability to leave any presidential opinion unexpressed. The roots of the Redskins go back to 1930s Boston. The team was known as the Braves when it played at Braves Field, alongside the alliterative baseball team, the Boston Braves, then switched to the Redskins when it went to Fenway Park to play alongside the Red Sox. A few years later, the team decamped to Washington. In the consciousness of the nation's capital, the Redskins exist somewhere between a beloved sports team and the object of a quasi-religious veneration. The team has a rich tradition, including a 70-year-old fight song, Hail to the Redskins, performed by a marching band, Braves of the Warpath, fight for old D.C. Its burgundy and gold uniforms and its logo are iconic, and the team's long rivalry with the Dallas Cowboys has always made its nickname seem perfectly apt. Surely, the franchise didn't settle on its nickname as a way to slight Native Americans. No one picks a team name as a means of disparagement. San Francisco didn't choose the name 49ers because it wanted to mock the foolish desperation of people panning for gold. Dallas didn't pick the name Cowboys to highlight the gunslinging violence of life on the American frontier. Teams, nicknames, and logos invariably denote fierceness and strength, which is the context, in the context of the NFL, are very good things. Yes, the name Redskins is an anachronism, but it's a harmless one. And that's where I don't entirely agree. I do not entirely agree that it's a harmless anachronism. But I agree with everything else Rich Lowry is saying here. It isn't meant as a statement of how people should refer to Native Americans, nor would any rational person take it as such. But that's my point. If you wouldn't refer to a Native American as that, what does it tell you about the name? A team nickname is a highly stylized symbol utterly removed from reality. That's a bit of a stretch. Now, back to Rich Lowry. Are we supposed to believe that the team's cheerleaders are popularly known as Redskinettes because that's what people think Native Americans call their women? Now, that's a good point. In an ecstatic Pittsburgh, baseball fans have been waving black flags with skulls and crossbones to root on their surprising Pirates. No one stops to object that the Barbary Pirates did terrible things centuries ago, as do Somali Pirates today. And therefore, everyone in Pittsburgh is making light of murder and mayhem on the high seas. This would obviously be an absurd overinterpretation of an innocent team nickname and the good-natured spiritness surrounding it. But absurd overinterpretation is endemic to the anti-Redskins case. Psychologist Michael Friedman, Ph.D., seriously maintains, not only does the use of this slur risk causing direct damage to the mental and physical health of our country's Native American population, it also puts us all at risk for both participating in and being harmed by ongoing prejudice. I don't agree with that. On the website Salon, English professor Stephen Salita argues that the nickname involves the peculiar disquiet of a whiteness perceived to be in decline. That's also idiotic. This would be news to Redskin fans who are evidently feeling a rather mundane disquiet over a 1-3 start in the state of star quarterback Robert Griffin III's surgically repaired knee. Sometimes football is just football. Rich Lowry writing, he's editor of the National Review. That appeared at realclearpolitics.com. This is a fabricated controversy. I can see what some people see about the logo. But there is not grassroots, there is not a grassroots outrage here. There simply is not. Now, I will say this. It does go a bit beyond the liberal media to which Lowry refers. And yes, there is Native American leadership, such as it is, that has expressed this as racist as well. But there is not a grassroots outrage that I can tell, not even among the Native American community. At large, again, not the leadership, at large. The Native American leadership is a lot like black leadership compared to the black and Native American communities at large. They often don't represent the community's interest. They don't speak for the entire Native American community any more than Al Sharpton or Jesse Jackson speak for the entire black community, yet they actually do get to. They decide that, no, we're going to go along with the teachers' unions and oppose vouchers, even though most of the black community sits there and prays for one of those slots and strongly supports vouchers. That doesn't matter. Yes, you have an incredibly small group here. The liberal media, not even just the regular liberal media, but the very liberal online media, and Native American leadership who's decided this has to go. Dan Snyder, owner of the Redskins, has drawn a line in the sand here. And by the way, whatever anyone feels about it, I agree with his right to call the team whatever he wants or to continue to call the team whatever he wants. It's his team. I'm tempted to make a prediction here. The NFL, you know, could coerce him into doing this. And Roger Goodell said, if even one person is offended, well, we have to take a look at it. This, I have the feeling, is something that the NFL wants to go away. I have a feeling the NFL is going to try to force, and I'll stress, try to force Dan Snyder into changing the name of the Washington Redskins. They have the sense, the NFL has the sense, this is becoming a problem for them. At least Goodell does. But there are indications that the ownership also is going to push Snyder to say, come on, we don't really need this. Stop being inflexible on this and let's change the name. I have a feeling that's going to happen. Well, would you be for that or would you be against it? I would oppose that. Because I think it is a relatively small vocal group that's applying this pressure. And then you have the President of the United States weigh in on this. Well, if I were the owner of the Redskins, I would look at that. If he were owner of the Redskins, all hell would freeze over because he doesn't have an entrepreneurial bone in his body. I don't think it's the right move for the NFL to pressure Snyder to do this. Snyder's a businessman, a pretty bad one at times when it comes to football and the decisions that he makes. But he's a businessman. He has a right, if everyone else is right and Snyder's wrong, and this is hurting his business, in this case, the particular business, the Washington Redskins, then he'll have to deal with that. But that's his decision to make. And it's amazing how these things just swell up out of nowhere. Speaking of offensive in football, one of the things I do want to get to before the show is over is the comments that Detroit Lions center Dominic Raiola is accused of making to the UW band, which, by the way, the band was awesome as usual. I was at the game. It was an off week for the Badgers, so they made their annual pilgrimage to Lambeau Field. And it was great. Jason, we even stuck around for the fifth quarter. It was a lot of fun. First time we've ever done this. We got home after 6 o'clock. We were some of the last people to leave Lambeau Field. Never did it before. Had dinner at Curly's. It was cool. It's really cool closing the house. It is. And we stayed for the whole thing. Until I heard the reports yesterday, I was completely unaware of the alleged homophobic and other remarks that Raiola made to the band. I want to get into that. Raiola's not admitting he did it. The Lions aren't saying they know conclusively he said these things, yet they're apologizing. Very interesting. The latest from Washington and a whole lot more starting at 9:06. It's 8:56.
Hello, this is Brent Martin, owner of Rebath of Northeast Wisconsin. Is your